Starting with the 14th verse, reading from the New King James Version. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on the journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who received 5 talents and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside me. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have, it's yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reaped where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money in the bankers, with the bankers. And at coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him who gives it to him. Take the talent, give it to him who has 10. For everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But to him who does not have, even that he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God's holy word, as it is written. I just want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes from this thought. Using what you have given to you by the grace of God. Use what you have. It is clear that we are on our way to building God an exceptional, strong church. This is done. And if it's going to be done, it requires proper equipment and tools which to work. I firmly believe that all that we need, God has already provided for us right here.
Amen.
It is my desire that all who claim membership in the church would bring all that God has blessed them with and use it for the glory of God to help grow the church. I think it's important, and I should say at this point, that the church is not in the business of giving spiritual gifts. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, which we discovered this morning. And in order to be filled with that Spirit, you have to repent, turn from your sins, and ask God into your heart. But we are here to help you stir up the gifts that have already been given. Stir it up. What has been given is an important aspect of the Christian life. Paul advised Timothy, his young son in the ministry, stir up the gift of God which is in you and put them back into God's hands. There are a lot of people in our congregation that have gifts that they could be using to the glory of God. Yeah. Divine gifts that God has given them, but they think it's not as important as the gift of others. But I encourage you today, if you have only one gift, use it to the glory of God. Little becomes much at the master's touch. Amen? Our gifts are like fire burning coal. In order for the coal to get heat, then you have to stir it every now and then. You have to fan it every now and then so that the coal will blaze up. Some of us just need to be fanned every now and then. Some of us need to just be stirred up every now and then, that the coal that we have allowed to ash over will come to life again. Amen? To God be the glory. When we consider the parable of the talents, Jesus is drawing our attention to the industrious worker. It calls us to go beyond being spectators and become participators in the works of the kingdom. This parable calls us to use all that we have for the glory of God. Amen? Somebody should not have to ask you to do what you know God has blessed you to do. Amen. If you know God has blessed you to do it, you ought to use it to His glory and honor. Because I'm a firm believer, just like muscles, if we don't use it, we'll lose it. When you consider the words of this passage, it does not have reference to what we can do. It does not have reference to our ability to sing or speak. The talent was the largest unit of silver, shaped in a pellet or ring, with a approximate value of one ox. The talent was a full amount of the weight of man could carry in gold, silver, or bronze. The talent represented money. In this parable, it is what was placed in the possession of three men. Each of them had responsibility of investing the talent, but one went out and hid his talent. But let us look through this parable for just a minute and see if we can glean what God is saying to Eastside today. Yeah. For it's just like the man that's gone on a journey. In these verses, the man is seen preparing to take a journey. He called his servants and gave them his goods. And this man preparing to take the journey is symbolic of Jesus, and the servants symbolic of Christians who are subject to the kingdom of God. Don't you know that God is watching you?
Amen.
Don't you know that God knows your heart?
Amen.
We say it as a cliche, God knows my heart, but the reality of it is that God truly does know your heart.
Amen.
And that ought to frighten you today. Particularly if your motives are not clear. And as a Sunday school lesson, if your heart is not right. In this parable, we get the picture that we have, all that we have belongs to God. It is given to us by grace. There is no one who has received grace at the hands of God. No one can say that they have nothing to contribute to the kingdom. God is so gracious that He gives all His servants something that they can do to glorify God. If the grace of God had been better understood, more of us would get busy in the kingdom business. A lot of us are busy doing everything but kingdom business. Whatever you are, whether you are one talented Christian, a two talented Christian, or a five talented Christian, you have something to contribute to the church.
Amen.
It does not matter about the number of talents you have. You are still the recipient of God's grace. Isn't it good that God does not take away His grace because we only have one talent and we're not using it? Isn't it good that God does not take away His grace because we are doing everything but serving Him? How would you feel if God took His grace from you? In verse 15, neither the servant was given the same number of talents, nor did they have the same ability. But all of them were given something according to the sovereignty of the giver. God to give gifts at such proportion of what we can handle. I remember when my brother, when I was telling him that I had been called to Eastside years ago, and I told him, he said, well, we don't have about 65 members. He said, well, that's about all God wants you to handle. And so we need to understand sometimes we want to have a $50 job with $5 ability.
Alright.
And God's not going to give us any more than we can handle it. And sometimes what we handle, if we don't handle it to the glory of God, He'll take that away from us. This parable suggests that when God blesses us, all that He gives us is good, better, and the best. One talented person has no need to be self-pity because of having only one talent. Because the one talent is an expression of God's grace. It's also part of God's divine order of things. God never jumped to two. He started with one. There's no two snowflakes just alike. There are no two leaves on the trees just alike. There are many stars in the universe, but they all have different shapes. There are many kinds of fish in the sea, many kinds of birds flying out. And this suggests that God is a lover of variety and diversity. He didn't want all of us alike. Amen? This is why He does not give everybody the same thing. He gives everybody something. But He doesn't always give us the same thing. There's no need of trying to be like anybody else.
Amen.
There's no need one person pitying self. The person and who you are. Be thankful that God has blessed you the way you are. Thank God for what He's done in the midst of you and in spite of you. None of us are what we are except for the grace of God. We can never afford to allow grace to be absent in our lives. God is pleased to send some in the world better equipped than us. If a variety satisfies God, we should not allow it to be dissatisfying us. We should not allow variety to be a source of envy. Or put ourselves on because God is generous enough to give us all that we need. If we are able to put our faith and trust in God, God will let us know that He can make a way. Amen. He'll let you know that He can take a pimp and turn him into a preacher. He can take a drug addict and turn him into a deacon. He can take a trickster and turn him into a trustee and a policeman. He can take and turn him into a deacon. Amen. God can. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Amen. God don't need perfect things. Everything He made was good. He just, some of us, it just buried a little deeper. Somebody said, there's good in the worst of us, and there's bad in the best of us. Amen? But if you've been given two talents, no one should beat you using those two talents. Because Martin Luther King said, if your life all to be a street speaker, be the best street speaker there is. And then when you are gone, somebody will say, nobody could speak sweet streets. Amen. Uncle Texas, then you're tired of it in there. And you're going to get out of there. Amen. That you are the best street sweeper that ever lived. God is a gracious God. But God, we have to be grateful for our gift. The scripture said immediately the one who had received five talents went and traded them and gained five more. In the same manner, the one who had received two talents gained more. But the one who received one talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves and servants came again. that they may give an account. The first two men showed that gratitude for what they have been given by gaining more. It does not matter how many or how few gifts you have, or if you have athletic ability, whatever God is concerned about how you use it, or how you don't use, or how you abuse what God gives you. Some people don't get more because they are abusing what God has already given them. Amen. And they're praying for God's mercy and grace. No one wants to see what they have given another person wasted and abused. Remember, what has been given each servant was an act of God's praise to the giver. He didn't have to give it, but he gave it to them because of his grace. Amen. The servant didn't have to pay for it, but God gave it to them by his grace. God gives us more when we are good stewards over what we already have. God gives us more as long as we are using it to the glory and honor of him. In this parable, the Lord returns. And be not deceived. God will return. He's going to return and ask for an accounting from each and every one of us. He's going to want to know, what did you do with what I gave you? I gave you a voice to sing. Did you use it for the glory and honor of God? Did you use it for my glory? I gave you an honor, an ability to be able to teach. Did you teach? Or did you get mad because somebody sung you a song? Amen. Say it your prayer. Did what you were too mean to do and then got mad about it. When you stand before God at his return, each of us must give an account of our use, our non-use, or our abuse of what God has given to us, not as the body of each side, not as pastor, bank for me, but each individual. Turn to somebody and say, you.
You.
Amen. Say it again, they didn't hear
you.
You. You. They're going to have to give an account. Amen. Obvious. I'm sure you can find some people that will say gifts and abilities are nothing. You may even feel that your gift and ability is nothing. But know that if God can take a lonesome man and turn him into one that will glorify him and that will lead others to Christ, if he can take one that was destined to kill Christians and turn him into a preacher that would turn the whole world upside down by his ability and his writing of the New Testament, then he can take a nothing and nobody and make something out of them if you allow it to be put in the master's hands.
Amen.
You should never undervalue what God has given us. Whatever it is, no matter how little or how small, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about what you have. It is valuable because it was given by the grace of God. And anything that's given by God means that it was given without the merit of the belief. Some of you that sing so well, you think that, I deserve to sing. Some that preach think that I deserve to preach. But God gave you that ability not because you deserve it, but because he's God. And he gave it to you. And what God has given to you, you ought to use it for his glory.
Amen.
And his honor. This joy that I have, the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. And I'm happy with Jesus alone. Amen. The man with the one talent. Let's look at him for a minute. The man with the one talent had nothing to add to the kingdom. So he went and hid his talents. There are two things that stand out about the one man talent. He probably spent more energy burying his talent. Amen. And then having to go back and dig it up again than if he had to put it to use. Amen. Sometimes we do a lot of work that's not necessary when we give it to the hand of the Lord. If there are things that are blocking you from using your talent, don't you try to fix it. Ask God to fix it. If there is somebody standing in your way, ask God to fix it. The one talent man experienced condemnation for his abuse of his talent. God doesn't want to give you something if you're not going to use it. So he took it away. In this parable, the giver was so generous that he rewarded those faithful in their stewardship. I'm sure that by now you understand the parable is a call to faithfulness. It is hard for those who receive the grace of God. God wants us to be faithful. And to be faithful means that you are trustworthy and dependable. If the work in the church is to continue to grow and develop, we need people who are trustworthy and dependable to use their talent for the glory and honor of God. Need people that's willing to stand for right and righteousness. Just like the parable Sister King told that fits so eloquently into this sermon, and I didn't give it to her, that we need to stand on the Word of God. We need to stand on the Word of God. Psychology, trigonometry, and no other harmony is going to be able to help you like standing on the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. God was generous. God was generous to the faithful because He gave him the ability to gain more talent. Two talent servants and the five talent servants ended up with twice as many talents as they started out with. God increased their ability to gain more than He had given them. And when we fully use God and fully use what God has given us, He will bless us with a greater capacity to do service. He will enlarge our territory. He will give us powers above our talent and far above our ability. Sometimes you wonder how and where you get where you are. It's nothing because of the grace of God that has kept you. Some of us have been places where we never thought we'd ever see. But by God's grace and our faithfulness, God will take you to places that you never thought you'd be. And I'm grateful for God's grace and His mercy. I'm trying to go through this in these last 2 points. When I think about where I started out, Sister Jones, that English spoon read me out of Texas. And if you don't know what an English spoon, it's a shovel. They got 3 holes in it. And you use it to walk around rice fields in water and moccasins. Amen. Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and we have walked around 300 acres by 9. Leave that 9, go to the hay field. And then by 6 o'clock, you will leave the hay field, going back into the rice field to make sure none of the levees has gone. I never believed that God would bring me to the city. I'm not a city boy. But God brought me. But He didn't just bring me. He kept me. I wasn't trying to preach, but He called. And I said yes. And ever since that day, some 40 years ago, not because of me, not because of my ability, not because of my education, but one thing I said, I'll be faithful, Lord.
I may not be able to do that, God, but I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And I'm going to stand on your word.
God was generous because he gave us more if you remain faithful. But I have to tell you, and then I'm going to bring it to a close, that he said unto those with the talents, he said, well done.
Well done.
Amen. But you need to understand that he didn't say well done to all of them.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. He said well done to those that were using what he had given them for his glory and honor.
Amen.
He said well done to the one that had five and went and got five more. He said well done to the one that had two and went and got two more. But the one that he gave, don't be jealous. Because you're going to have that one. Amen. Just keep on using that one.
Amen.
They use that one until everybody says, well, he's working like a fool, but I'm working with Jesus.
Amen.
With my one talent, I'm going to work just as hard as a person that has five. Because I want to be the recipient of that talent when you quit using it.
Amen.
Because it's proven that if you don't use it,
amen,
God's going to give it to somebody. Amen. And I want to be the recipient. But until that day, I'm going to use. He said, until that day that the Lord bless us to do something else, let's use what we got. Use those. Don't complain. Well, we don't have this. We don't have. Well, if we got God on our side, we don't need anybody else or anything else. And what we need, he said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. We may not have a lot, but if you got the grace of God, if you got the grace of God in your life, you can pray and bring that child out. If you got the grace of God in your life, we can pray and take guns out of the hearts of men and women. If you got the grace of God, we can see miraculous things. We can see cancer healed. We can see people delivered. We can see yokes broken with the grace of God. But we have to believe what we say. We have to believe what we say. By the grace of God, except for the grace of God, there go I. It hurt my heart when I heard about the shooting. Another shooting. And yet we are so unconcerned. Like the president said, it's become almost ordinary.
Yes, sir.
Almost ordinary. Did God mean it for it to be there? But you know, we can change it. We can change it. Second Chronicles said, we can change it. We can change it. Church can change it if the church rise up and be the church. We need to rise up, he said, and be the church. We have young people in college, going to college. We need to rise up and make sure they are under the protective hand of God. Because in this case, he targeted people of faith. You don't know from one day to the next who's a Christ hater, who's a faith hater. So you better make sure that you know that even if I don't make it back here next Sunday, I can make it home. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's not about being here, but it's about making it home. And if we put our faith and trust in God, we will make it home. I know y'all don't like talking about that, but that's the reality. That's the reality that we live in. We live in a mean and cruel world. People that have no respect for life. So we need to make sure that we got a ticket and is stamped and covered with the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
This morning, that may be someone that's outside of the ark, as we say, of faith, outside of the house of faith, outside of the relationship with Christ. If you're outside of the relationship with Christ, now is the time. You may wish it where you wish, but give your heart to God right now. Because we don't know what our lives outside the door. But we can know that God is able. God is able to save us. God can deliver us if we are willing to ask Him into our lives. The Holy Spirit will dwell with us in our Sunday school lesson taught us if we repent of our sin, believe in Jesus and ask Him to come into our heart. There's no doubt in Christ. Love God and have not confessed Him. So you blinded by fears, I've consumed by your tears, and the daytime has turned to night. Unaware, but there's someone who cares. I believe God is through your heart of the Lord of the night. We have Calvary tonight, use them for His glory. Now is the time to make a commitment.
Promise He'd never leave us nor forsake us.